My advice would be to do what makes you happy. And if that's not happening in your workplace, do it outside your workplace. Yeah. I think that if you're not doing things that inspire you and fuel your passion, I think it really affects me.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock.
I am so excited to welcome the design team for Rhyme and Reason Design. This all got set up through Natalie. I met the design team last year, they may not remember, at the first Dribble meetup they had. And I was kind of disappointed I wasn't able to make the second one, but me and Natalie were on the volunteer team at Creative South, so that's how this whole connection got started.
And welcome. I recognized you because you were wearing our shirt from the Dribble event, which I was also wearing.
Yes.
So, magnificent humans come together and represent wearing the same t-shirt.
Right.
It's nice when you see them out in the wild.
Like, I see you representing us, which means I've met you before. Awesome.
Well, to be honest, the t-shirts are awesome. The quality, I wear it probably more than I should.
They're so comfy, right?
Yes. All right, so let's kick it off. What made you get into design? I guess we could go through each person and your design journey, and then we'll culminate at when you got to Rhyme and Reason or started.
So which one of us wants to go first? I got to try first. Cool. So I've always been interested in the arts ever since I was small, and once it got around to like making my career choice, being an artist, like fine artist, wasn't super sustainable, and I just really liked working for others and kind of taking other people's visions and making art or design from that. So when it came to picking my major in college, I went into design because I just liked working with other people. So that's kind of how I got into graphic design in general from there. And, Karen and Lauren and I all went to the same design program at the University of Florida. Karen was at a different time, but Lauren and I were at the same.
What are you saying?
Nothing. I'm not making it whatsoever.
Paving the way for students to come.
Yes. Lauren and I were actually in the same class and graduated the same year. So Lauren and I have a long history of designing together and being friends. And after graduation, I really had two choices, and that was either to go home and work in Miami or come here and work. And luckily I got a job in Atlanta, and that's what got me up here. I was here for about 9 to 10 months working at this public relations agency called Porter Novelli when Lauren told me that there was a position open at Rhyme and Reason where she was currently working, and I jumped at the opportunity, and I've been here ever since for more than 2 years now.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, it really does.
Awesome.
But that's me, so.
So similar to Natalie, you know, I had a passion for fine arts. I loved painting, I loved drawing. I did AP art in high school, and then as I was, you know, entering into college, it was the realization that at some point I would need to get a job, maybe leave it at some point. And I dabbled a little bit in architecture and interior design and decided within a semester that that was not for me. And kind of jumped ship from that program and went then through the fine arts department at Florida, which lets you play and paint and draw for about 2 years, and then you have to pick your major and get serious. So selected graphic design, was accepted. You know, spent my last 2 years of school kind of digging into the design aspect and took that with me when I graduated, and worked at an advertising agency for a couple years before spinning off and starting Rhyme and Reason.
Awesome. So you are one of the founders.
I am one of the founders, yes. I think that's a question that comes. I won't get into it too much.
All right, next.
All right. Well, my backstory, I had always done fine arts my whole life. I really didn't know about design until, like, I was actually in it when I was in school. So I actually went to school with the intention of going to dental school and being an orthodontist.
Wow.
And I quickly learned that I did not love a lot of the things that you have to learn in order to be that.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I would be a really great orthodontist, but like, do I want to deal with the 10 years of stress to get there? And will I actually really like it? I don't know. And so I kind of had this come to Jesus moment after my freshman year of college where I decided that I was not doing what I liked. And I had this talk with my parents and they were like, Lauren, you need to do what you're good at. And I was like, yeah, but you realize that's art, right? Like, that's not a real thing. And they were just like, no, like, go for it. And I was like, really? I can do that? They're like, sure. And so I had been doing pre-dental with a psychology major. And I loved psychology. And if I could have double majored in psychology and art, I totally would have. But then once I got into the art program, I discovered graphic design. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this kind of merges these, like, two worlds that I really love where it's psychology and how the mind works and how people think and what motivates them to do the things they do, and also, you know, creativity. So I was like, well, this is it. This is it for me. So then I quickly like tried to cater my portfolio and stuff to that. I actually didn't get into the program the first time I applied, unlike Natalie and Karen, who were awesome, they got it the first time. I had to have a little failure in my life to, you know, help me learn and have other experiences. So I had to actually reapply. So I graduated actually, like, it took me 6 years, whereas most people, it takes four.
Although in Florida, it's probably close to the average.
Yeah.
Stick around.
Yeah,
so we don't want to leave the pond.
Yeah. But it was really great because then I had the opportunity. I started working at a startup when I was in Gainesville, like while I was still in school. And I also helped co-art direct this conference called Frank in Gainesville that's organized through the Journalism College. I got really involved in Ad Society, which is the kind of advertising club at UF. So I had a lot of like random experiences that happened during that time that I feel like were really helpful and beneficial in shaping who I am today. So it was one of those blessings in disguise that I didn't get in. And I learned a lot during that time. And by the time I graduated, I had a little bit more real life experience under my belt that other people may not have had the chance to do because they were busy, you know, focusing on school, whereas I spread it out over 6 years. So I got a little bit of extra like wiggle room there. So yeah, and then I moved up to Atlanta right after I graduated, started working at a advertising firm, probably like mid-size-ish, learned a lot, and then Karen poached me after I had LinkedIn stalked her a little bit. I had made the connection that there was another gator in town that had a firm. It was called Rhyme and Reason. I thought, wow, they look like they have a lot of fun. Let's
come to the cupcake.
Let's be friends.
And we hypnotize you with glitter and sparkles.
Yeah. And
which
so,
is true. You guys look like, man, you guys are having a blast.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't even know if you're hiring, but I just want to be your friend. And so I had, you know, seen them at Creative Mornings and been friends with them for, you know, I guess, gosh, it was 9 months that I was here before I switched over to Rhyme and Reason. So, and then been here ever since. They brought me over to the sparkly side.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Fun to be our next temporary tattoo.
Wow. That is a crazy transition from dentist to
I know.
Because I'm kind of like in the same boat as Karen. I did start with architecture. I was doing building design, and I got turned on to graphic design, and I was never been the same. Kind of. So, but.
Wait for fun.
I feel like I know a couple of people that did that. They did the architecture route and then switched over to design. I wonder if there's like something about architecture that appeals to the type of person that is a designer.
I think at least when I made the initial decision to go that route, it seemed like the better way to go to get a job. I mean, not to say everything is about getting a job, but, you know, when you graduate high school, at least my parents were like, all right, what's the long-term plan? You need to pick a major. You need to at least sort of have an idea of where you want to go.
Yeah.
So I think that's why. It's creative.
Yeah. I think I enjoyed the design classes more than the math classes. Mm-hmm. And I had like structural beam design classes, which was intense. So design
in addition to architecture.
Yeah, it sounds like you made it a lot further than I did.
Well, all right, so we're at Rhyme and Reason. Everyone is at Rhyme and Reason now. How did Rhyme and Reason come about?
Like most good ideas, it came about over late night beer. my college roommate was in town visiting, and we were out and chatting, and I'd been working at kind of a small mid-sized agency for a couple years, and I felt like things had sort of stagnated and I wasn't learning anymore and I wasn't allowed to stretch my legs, you know, creatively. It was a very sort of streamlined aesthetic that we were working with for high-end real estate clients, and there just wasn't a lot of wiggle room. And I was chatting with her over drinks and sort of lamenting the fact that, you know, I was in this job and I was the only designer on staff, and, you know, if I kind of spun off and could just do it myself, that I could take on different clients and projects and feel more fulfilled and probably make more money. And I was like, but the one thing holding me back is that I don't know how to develop a website. Like, I can design them, I can do all this stuff, but I have no idea how to develop. Mm-hmm. You know, she's staring across the table at me and she's like, well, I can develop a website. And she was about to start grad school and she's like, well, I should have time, you know, to take on projects and like, let's do it. And that was really, the inkling of the beginning. And I realized that, you know, I'd gotten to a point at my current agency that it was time to do something new. And I was young and I didn't have a mortgage or a family or any real responsibility. And I already had my laptop in the programs. And I put in my notice and traveled a little bit and then came back and we really, you know, dug in and started Rhyme and Reason. I would say the first 3 years we used maybe as our like business school education. None of us were, you know, trained in business. I started a business minor and I think dropped it when I got to financial accounting. I was like, nope.
That's the one that gets everyone.
Right. Second for our history for minor. So we really used that first couple of years to test the waters and, you know, we made a ton of mistakes and learned from them and failed here and succeeded there. And I took on actually another business partner pretty close to the beginning who is now my current business partner, Scarlett. So we've had some evolution of the company over the years, but we kind of took that first couple years to learn. And then in 2011, really got serious about it. We got an office. We started hiring people. We started acting like a business. We got a bookkeeper. Best
nice.
Decision ever. I recommend people do that right off the bat.
Very true.
If you too flunked out of financial accounting. I have to say it was socializing over beers that really sparked the idea, and then really just a perfect timing for me and some friends, and it's come together over the years.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm interested in finding out, like, who was your first major client, and what was that feeling like?
Oh, man. So when we started, I had already, you know, been promoting myself as a freelancer, so we had some small clients. I would say that our biggest, you know, win was in 2010. We had pitched the city of Georgetown, Texas, actually. It's a blind RFP, which
you know, you only do when you have a lot of time on your hands and not a lot of clients. And they'd asked for creative, which typically we don't like to do up front. You know, we really value research and kind of laying that foundation before we just jump in and throw things on a page. But, you know, there are exceptions to every rule. And we had a little extra time and they asked for, you know, website comps, and Scarlett and I chat and we're like, let's do this. Like, we'll spend some extra time. We're going to try to wow them. Let's try to get this client. It seems right up our alley. And so we put in the RFP, and then I run off and I get married. Wow. And I'm leaving for a 6-week honeymoon in South America, where I have my computer but not a lot of access to internet. And as I'm essentially like boarding the plane, Scarlett, my business partner, calls and she's like, "We got Georgetown."
Wow.
And she still remembers that conversation with the client, where the client, and they're still a client today, they sort of reminisce that they weren't sure if Scarlett was happy or scared. We had won the project knowing that her lead designer was about to like take off and gallivant through the world. but it worked out. We had some research and copywriting and stuff to do up front, so they didn't even need me.
Awesome.
But really, that Georgetown client was one of our first big wins, where we kind of patted ourselves on the back and felt like, hey, like, we're making it. Like, this is a real city. And, you know, they've been a wonderful client ever since, and that was 7 years ago. So.
Awesome.
They've been great.
That's and awesome. Get away for other city clients.
And they, exactly. And now we work with, you know, a dozen city entities. And really it was that initial experience where we said, hey, these are great clients. Let's try to pick up more of them.
That's awesome. So let's get back to the individuals. All right. So I know it's not always easy. We all need some kind of support system. Who would you say your core support system would be? For each person.
I'm going first. So, in terms of like following my dreams, I would say my mom was kind of that person. I mean, I'm the first person in like my family to go to college and get a degree, and like I'm Cuban, so like Latins have this like fear of like leaving the nest and like their babies going off on their own. And most of my family was like vehemently against me going away for college and leaving Miami. And my mom was the one who was just like, you know what? Go do it. Like,
awesome. We'll
do what we can to take care of you. Like, I'm scared. You're my like only daughter and my first child, but I still want you to go out there and experience the world, because I didn't do it. No one else in this family has or will do it. So like, go do you. And like, we'll support you in any way that you can. And my mom is still very supportive. I call her once a week and we always talk for like 45 minutes about like life and everything going on and family and work and everything. So my mom's been kind of like my like cheerleader for all of my life, really.
Awesome.
And then in terms of like here, my significant other, my boyfriend, is actually like very supportive. When I was at the public relations agency, I was miserable because, like Karen at her design agency, I was the only designer there, but I was the only designer for like several offices in the Southeast.
Wow.
So I was doing design work for a slew of clients. I was by myself. I was fresh out of school. I felt like I didn't have that support system in my career where I could keep learning. I just felt like I was floundering and kind of figuring things out as I went along. And I realized I needed to be somewhere where I could continue learning from people. And had my boyfriend not been like, you just need to do it. You just need to like leave. And I know it's like scary, but you need to put yourself out there. And it's draining to have a full-time job that has you working on the weekends sometimes and apply for other jobs and interview and network, but you just like need to do it. And he's been very helpful in like keeping me grounded and keeping the anxiety levels low when I start to feel like, when I was really stressed during that time.
Nice.
Yeah, that's me. Like, there have been so many people that have helped me along the way these last 9 years. I mean, credit to my parents for always being an amazing foundation. I don't think either one of them has an entrepreneurial bone in their body. So while I don't think of them as support from like that business aspect, you know, Natalie mentioned it, they've been my cheerleaders the whole time. And my mom is still always surprised that like I could make a business and hire people and all that. So they've been wonderful. I'm part of an accelerator program, which has also been really helpful over the years to be surrounded by other entrepreneurs who are experiencing, you know, similar growth, business challenges, people challenges, services challenges, and just sort of this safe place to bounce ideas around. And also, if, you know, I ever have issues, to be able to come and take it to the table and say, all right, guys, you know, experience, share, give me what you got.
Nice.
So EI Accelerator has been wonderful. And then, of course, my husband, who is entrepreneurial to a certain degree and has been amazing when I have kind of limiting beliefs about what we can do or where we should go. He calls me out on that, which sometimes I'm like, yeah, darn it. But I think it's a wonderful thing to have somebody say, that's a limiting belief. You can do that. Like, why can't you travel the world for 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
You can make it work. So he's been a wonderful influence over the years and has pushed me out of my conservative risk-averse bubble sometimes.
Nice. Lauren.
I think for me, gosh, I consider myself very blessed because I have really amazing family and really amazing friends and coworkers that I also consider friends. I feel like, yeah, hashtag blessed for real, because I'm just surrounded by people that like believe in me and are super positive. And like I said, my parents were really supportive when I wanted to switch my major from pre-dental to art, and they had no idea, you know, what I was going to do with it, but they were just like, we know you and we know that you're a hard worker and you're going to be successful at whatever you set your mind to. And like, it sounds so cheesy, but like they truly believe that.
Nice.
And having people that just give you that like blessing, like for me, it was a huge weight off my shoulders. And I was like, wait, you guys aren't going to be like disappointed or something if I do this. So I feel like I'm very lucky in that aspect. And it's not just my parents, it's my grandparents, it's my cousins, my aunts and uncles, it's all of them. Like, they are just like the most like proud family like ever. So I'm very lucky in that aspect. And my boyfriend is super supportive too. He has a completely different job than I do. He's an attorney. So like, whereas I'm like the like left brain creative, he's the right like logic reasoning person, which is really nice to have someone that balances that out for me. And he is super supportive even when he doesn't even know how to be. He will come to the Dribble events and try and network and talk to people. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but he's there for me, which is great. Yeah, and like I said, my coworkers, honestly, like, these people are, like, an awesome support system. Like, I think that having that in the workplace, too, is really important because you want to be surrounded by people who you believe in and who believe in you. And I think that that is something that I feel is very special about Rhyme and Reason, and I certainly appreciate that.
Nice. So... I know it hasn't always been easy. What would you say was the greatest struggle with building Rhyme and Reason?
I think I mentioned it before, limiting beliefs. I think we have a tendency not to think big enough. And we need sort of this constant reminder to leave our comfortable bubble and go after kind of the big shiny things. And so... over the years, I think that's, I guess, been our struggle. I think both Scarlett and I, my business partner, were pretty risk averse. We want to build an office that is stable, that is comfortable, but we also recognize that we have to keep growing, and we want to keep growing. So to continue to kind of push ourselves in that direction is something that we're always actively working on.
So my question is, because... I follow you guys on social media, and it just feels like the work atmosphere is just, you guys are just always having a party.
You should have seen the office yesterday.
Okay, Monday we had a photo shoot and there was glitter and cupcakes for sure.
Yeah, confetti everywhere, just ridiculous.
So we do get work done too.
So my question is, like, is this something like intentional, like you guys sat down and thought about how you wanted to structure the work atmosphere, or is it, did it just kind of happen and you ran with it? Like,
our values.
Yeah, so we sat down several years ago now, and Scarlett and I had started the process about trying to identify our core values, but we wanted it to be a team exercise and we wanted to be true to sort of our actual office, you know, environment. We didn't want to just say, hey guys, we're fun, be fun. And so we started out with this long list and we met together with the whole team and started condensing it down into those, like, you know, five or six values that we really felt strongly about. And some of those are what I think play out really obviously in our social. Like, making time for fun is one of our core values. It is on a poster in our office. Mm-hmm. And so we are very intentional about that culture and environment. But I think also it came very naturally. And we're not, you know, forcing people to get up out of their chairs and dance around when we win a scope. Like, that's just what happened.
Yeah.
So I think it's been a really amazing blend of sort of just this authentic culture that exists, but also one that we've been cultivating. And I think even at a small size, you have to cultivate your culture or it can fall apart. And I think if you ask most small agencies, like small shops, they're going to say our culture is one of our biggest assets. But every small shop eventually is going to become a medium-sized shop, hopefully, and maybe even a larger shop. And I think being intentional at the beginning helps guide that, you know, continuation of the culture as you grow.
Nice. I just think it's just awesome that you're coming to work and you look forward to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think part of it too is that, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, we've all come from like kind of those churn and burn agency backgrounds. And I know where I was before, I was like dressing very business-like and it just didn't feel comfortable in my skin where I was. So I wanted to be somewhere where I could like be my authentic, goofy self. And Rhyme and Reason Life is like, yeah, bring that to the table. Bring your knitted sea creatures to our office video. It's so cool. So like, again, yes, you have to be aware of it and cultivate it up front, but it's also part of that, like, we don't want to have to put on a face and be stuffy when we're not stuffy, and just kind of, like, just create a space where you can be yourself and still be professional and still get work done, but still enjoy yourselves, because, I mean, you're here for 40 hours a week. You might as well enjoy what you're doing and the people you're working with and the environment you're in.
Yeah, and I think that Scarlett and Karen have done a good job of hiring very, like, glass half full type of people.
Yes.
Too. I think that, you know, you can say that something is your values all
mm-hmm.
you want, but if you don't hire people that actually are gonna, like, live and breathe them,
mm-hmm.
then it's just words, right?
Yeah.
So I think that something that I love is that everybody here is a very different person, but I think that we're all very optimistic and
mm-hmm.
like genuinely happy and kind people. I don't think any of us are, I don't know, I feel like we have a lot of, like, just good-heartedness here, and that, like, translates into how we speak to our clients, the work that we do. I mean, a lot of that, like, comes out when you see all the, like, sparkly things, because we genuinely, like, want to share, like, that happiness with other people.
Yeah.
And, like, have people over for a dribble event and give them beer and pizza because we like being around other people and, like, just infusing a little bit of that, like, happiness and sparkle into, like, their lives too.
Yeah.
So I think that also, like, lends itself very well to what we try and put out into the world.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's next for R&R?
Gosh, what's not next for us?
The sky's the limit.
One thing we kind of started dabbling in this year, which was interesting, was we did a merch table at Creative South this year. Mm-hmm. So I think you may see a little bit more of that, which is exciting. And then from a business perspective, really sort of stretching our legs more, I think, into the city and municipality. We work a lot in tourism. We work with Convention and Visitors Bureau, and to start moving into some new entities and new states, I know is on our radar, but I think the merch is probably more exciting.
can
we tell them about the tattoos?
Yeah, we can tell them about the tattoos. They're not on the client list. It's cool.
Natalie did an awesome illustration of a bald eagle riding a unicorn.
And it's basically, if anyone's familiar with that painting of Napoleon Bonaparte riding a horse, like, over the Alps, I kind of use that as a base. So the horse has been replaced with a unicorn, and Napoleon has been replaced with a bald eagle wearing a Statue of Liberty crown, holding up the Torch of Liberty with an American flag draped over it. So we just went, like, completely crazy, weird, patriotic, and we're sending out this illustration as, like, a temporary tattoo for our clients for the 4th of July, in addition to a koozie that has the same illustration on it. So,
because why not?
Because America.
Nice.
Big things on the horizon.
Yeah, super big things.
Are you asking them to send pictures of them putting it on?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. We always like to include, like, a little insert or something whenever we sign client appreciation stuff, and I made sure of, like, take pictures and tag Ryan and read the sign with it, because I really just want to see if someone, like, ends up being crazy with it, like putting it on their neck or like something really, like, weird.
Yeah,
like
on
that.
Their face? Yeah.
Face might be a bit much, but I'm really
on
not.
It.
He'll do it over the 4th of July.
Karen volunteers.
Volunteer.
He's got it on tape, so you gotta
follow up, you know, after the 4th of July, and I can verify with photo evidence.
Yeah, we've got a big stack of them in the other room, and I'm really excited to just, like, put one somewhere on my body. I haven't decided where yet.
Awesome. I mean, this has been awesome. I just have one more question, but I just want to say this has been epic, man. So what advice would you have for creatives? Creatives as individuals, and for you, I guess, Karen, someone who's thinking of maybe stepping out and starting their own firm or agency.
I can go first if you need to think.
Please, I would appreciate that. I need a minute.
Take the pressure off.
To gather my thoughts.
I'm on it. My advice would be to do what makes you happy. And if that's not happening in your workplace, do it outside your workplace. I think that if you're not doing things that inspire you and fuel your passion, I think it really affects me. And I think that a lot of people I talk to, it really affects them too. And
yeah.
If you're feeling that stagnation wherever you're at, you don't have to just, like, wallow in it.
Yeah.
You can find other outlets. I'm very fortunate that my workplace allows me to do things that make me happy, like work on funny tattoos or unicorn society cards, but not every job is that way. And just, you know, find your happy place, and it doesn't have to be in your 9 to 5.
True.
My advice would be, kind of going back to your support system question earlier, is to just surround yourself with people that inspire you, that you can learn from, that can be an asset to you, but also that you can be an asset to them, because, like, I feel that learning and being supported is a two-way street. So, like, Lauren and I are in a Slack group with a bunch of local Atlanta designers, and they're really great, and they're in different disciplines and industries than we are, and they are always happy to, like, answer questions and give feedback and kind of, like, help you out when you're not really sure what to do or how to tackle a certain problem. But like I said, I think it's also really important to be open to doing that for other people as well, because you yourself learn by learning and helping others, whether that's, like, giving someone a portfolio review or meeting with someone for coffee to kind of talk with them about their career goals or anything in general, just surrounding yourself with good people that are willing to help you, but also be willing to help other people.
Yeah, pay it forward.
Yeah, definitely pay it forward.
Comes back.
Oh, man.
No pressure.
Personally, or as an individual, I would say you should always be learning, and if you're in a job where you feel like you have plateaued or you don't have an opportunity to learn, that's the time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can be in a job that you don't absolutely love, but if you're learning, it's going to be worth it. You're going to be able to build on that experience,
yeah,
and
totally.
Kind of take all that to the next job when you get there. That is better. So I do think sometimes there is a small element of suffering as you're getting into the industry just to learn. So
yeah.
I think that from like a one-on-one. As far as starting a business, I think just do it, not to like quote Nike or
we do not own that trademark.
Yeah. I'm going to get a call from them now. But there's no, it's like having a baby. There's no perfect time. There's
yeah.
no like ideal circumstance. You kind of have to get out there and do a bad and then do a better. And I think viewing your first year or 2 years or maybe even 3 years in our case as education and knowing that you're not going to nail everything, you're not going to get it perfect, but as long as, and this goes back to learning, you're learning from those experiences, you will improve over time and you're going to come and create this business that can be successful. And I also think a support system is huge. I mentioned EO Accelerator earlier. I think surrounding yourself with other entrepreneurs or other freelancers who are trying to build a business so that you can commiserate together, bounce ideas off each other is so, so important, because without that community, it can be very, very isolating when you need those relationships. And really, it should be fun. Or it should be what you want it to be. We wanted ours to be fun, so that's what we went for.
Well, I mean,
networking. I
awesome.
Feel like networking is one of those things that, like, some people, like, take very seriously, and some people are like, I don't have to do that. But I will say, like, every time I have networked and put myself out there, like,
yeah.
it has always paid off in
Definitely.
Some way, shape, or form. Even if that networking is, like, LinkedIn stalking someone and saying, like, that's okay. Like, that's still networking. That's, like, making a connection that you didn't have before. And, you know, like, it has always worked out for me. So,
yeah.
And it's scary. And, like, meeting new people is hard. And sometimes
yeah.
you're like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to say. But it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, it has always been beneficial for me to, like, meet someone new. Because
yeah.
you don't know, like, what they know that you can learn. Or, you know, like, who they know that you could work for or meet or be best friends with. I've made so many friends just from networking.
Yeah, I think to go off that note, in terms of networking, I would suggest to not be afraid to make a damn fool of yourself. Because, like,
true.
I think that's a lot of designers are kind of, like, introverted, and they're like, oh, I don't know what other people are going to think about me. But I think if you own up to being your genuine self, that's a huge asset, because like, that's the one thing that you have, like, for sure, that other people don't have. Nobody else is you. Nobody else, like, likes the exact same things that you do. You have your own different perspective on things, and you can bring that to networking with people. That'll make you memorable. You can bring that to your work. You can bring, like, your interest in a certain video game or weird sea creatures and, like, do work based on that. And, like, owning yourself and who you are and being out there with it and being unapologetic about it will A, make you more memorable, and B, make your work better.
Yeah, I like the networking.
That's where I was going with that.
That's right.
I like the networking. I think that's probably the biggest struggle. Sometimes we have this head struggle of what someone else is thinking on the other side. That we
Except
don't even do anything.
Designers also have this, like, vision of, like, who they have to be. Like, people think they, like, oh, I have to be, like, Draclin. Or, like, oh, I have to be, like, the next Ellen Lupton. And, like, kind of, like, silo themselves, which is fine if you're looking for inspiration, because like they do really good work, but the reason why they're so like good at what they do is that they own it and they have like their interests and they
have this,
and they're just like, this is me and that's it.
Very true. Well, guys, thank you so much. This has been a true blessing. I really enjoyed it. When I post it, I'm gonna hashtag blessed. This has been awesome. All right, so what's the easiest way for someone to find out about you guys?
Visit our website, rhymeandreasondesign.com. Lots of good stuff there. Our social.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Insta, Twitter, sometimes Dribbble.
Check out our Dribbble for sure, and our Instagram for sure, and Facebook. Those are the three channels I would say we're the most active on. Yeah, we're always posting stuff. Follow us, like us. Be our friend.
Be our friend, yes.
Awesome. All right, you guys take care. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, bye.
You can also stop by passionbehindart.com to listen to past episodes and to learn more about the project. Blessings.